This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
There we go. We just missed 30 minutes of podcast because we forgot to hit record. So, but we're not going to rehash any of that. So we're just starting over with our next subject matter.
We're not starting over. I'm not kind of finished with this. Jimmy, with your parents having the theater right next to the forest, okay, that's kind of awesome. I can understand that 100%.
Okay, we got to back up here because they're just coming into our conversation. We're talking about feeding birds and where people put bird feeders.
It's or rodents, squirrels.
And everything.
Yeah.
Okay, as a retired couple and you got a forest right next to it, I can understand, like, That's some fucking entertainment during the day. You know, you got
live nature channel.
Yeah,
live nature.
That's awesome. But if you're not there and you're putting out things for squirrels, raccoons, all of that kind of shit, there needs to be like some code that you just get fined attracting those motherfuckers. Because
I've thought about it. Admittedly, more to attract target practice.
Exactly.
But can I hit them?
I've seen the raccoons in the city. They don't need to be fed any fucking
yeah. Yeah, they're the size of, you know, some dogs.
They're bigger than the ones in the woods.
Yeah, because they're so better. Fucking fat.
You ever seen Go ahead.
Most of the ones I see in the city are bigger than most small dogs. They're like 30 pounds.
Raccoons they could eat are not a chihuahua or two. Yeah.
A chihuahua looks like a quarter the size of these motherfuckers.
When I was a garbage truck guy for a while. I used to have to pick up Burger King's dumpster, raccoons were always in it. And they were some of the fattest coons you ever saw. I would be backing up and you'd hear the beeper and you look at the camera and you would see them climbing out of the dumpster. Every once in a while, I'd catch one and dump it into the truck. Oh, that was like, what the hell is that noise?
Well, I'm not getting
that
it.
That fat guy.
Yeah. So what were you drinking, CJ?
Right now, Modelo.
Ah, nice.
I just have my normal whiskey. It's a drinking night. This will be an entertaining conversation.
Yeah,
actually, I am drinking something called a Corpse Reviver Number 2.
Shouldn't that have like a sword or something in it?
Well,
not an umbrella.
This one's also complicated, but it's a pre-prohibition cocktail that was billed as like almost like medicinal, so to recover from a hangover.
Oh, that's excellent!
So sort of
curious.
It's sort of, and it's a legit thing, and apparently there's a Corpse Reviver Number 1, I think that has amaretto and some two other things. This one has gin, a fancy vermouth, lemon juice, a simple syrup.
Did you make the simple yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's easy. Oh. Sugar and water is not too hard. And then it has a touch of absinthe in it too.
About absinthe,
so, and it's like it has a black licorice type flavor. It's not the same as Jaeger, but it's got a hint of that. Star anise or whatever that is that gives it that flavor. And really, it kind of there's orange liqueur in it, so it kind of it's like a cross between grapefruit juice and orange juice.
So across like that wall by your dining room table, have you just built shelves in to hold all this? Because I know where you used to keep it, And that little cupboard can't hold all the alcohol that you have variations of.
Actually, it does.
It does hold it all.
I forget where I had it when you were last here, but there's a big black what's my pantry, and that's deep enough. It's got like a 4 foot by 2 foot.
So you moved it all. Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't that little pantry, that cupboard thing.
Yeah.
No, so you've moved it to the pantry above the girl's head? Just above their head. So they have to like look up in there.
Yeah, they can't just.
Man.
I mean, they can kind of grab the front bottles, but there's a bunch of shit up there.
Wait until they're 16.
Yeah. Well, then I'll have to figure out something else.
So yeah,
you're gonna have to start marketing your bottles.
Yeah,
put a little lock on there. Oh,
what's your collection at then?
Go ahead. 60.
You got not that many, but
compared to
I got a lot. I got a couple gins.
Not that many. That is next words for. I got a lot.
It's not quite 60. So more than 40.
It's got to be around 40. I'd have to double check because there's some other things up there too. But I got a couple of fancy scotches, like
special occasion ones.
Yeah, yeah. So there's two or three of those that I. Once in a blue moon, I will have one of those because they're starting to get low and those were pricey anyway. But, and so I've got those. I got some cheap shit. There's a bunch of tequila bottles that only have so much left in them. So, I mean, technically they're not all full, but I do have a couple of bottles of gin, a bottle of vodka, rum, and a whole bunch of other shit that's pretty full. So the bar is locked and loaded, so come on down. Be more than happy to make you a cocktail.
You're gonna have to install one of the motion cameras facing it for when the girls get a little bit older. That way it pops up on your phone and then you can call them and be like, are you making me a drink?
You can get the ones you can talk into, be like, all right, what are you going to make with that, though?
The funny thing
is, put it back.
Yeah. If you're just going to mix that with Kool-Aid, then
grab the other bottle because that's the expensive stuff.
Yeah, grab the generic bottle that just says vodka.
And then I'll send you a request for an IOU on Venmo.
Yeah. Yeah, in all honesty, here's my, since for posterior sake, I will say it here. Here's my bet that I will need something like that for my youngest.
For your youngest.
My oldest will try, but it will be so obvious that she's trying to do something. Because God love her. I mean, they're both intelligent. My oldest is smart. My youngest is clever. So it's my youngest he's going to be. And then I wouldn't be surprised too if she goes, was me, and points to her sister. Or blame it on the neighbor kids.
Oh, they made me. I was listening to Two Bears podcast, and his wife called him, and his daughter got caught. I forget which one it is. It's the younger one. Got caught playing dice at her Catholic school. They were talking about it. That's going to be you, Jimmy. You're going to get a phone call from school going, hey, did you teach your daughter how to play dice? Because she's gambling.
Well, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, she either before this before any getting in trouble, or for sure after, she would look through the rule book and to try and find some loophole that says, well, we weren't gambling.
We were exchanging tokens.
Well, and you know,
we were bartering.
Being a private school, we were just rolling bones for clothes or something, you know, like they did in the Bible. I mean, I could totally, you know, maybe I'm giving her too much credit, but that's, she is my kid, and so there's part of me in that. So, I'd be doing that. So,
yeah.
Well, and then there's a, you know, along those same lines, there's a friend of mine, one of my best friends, his younger brother, he was the youngest of the family. He went to a private school, and he got, they called up his dad. He got busted. I think he was selling, I don't know if he was selling pop or bubble gum or something.
Oh.
But he created a business, basically. He's buying something like...
Oh, my boy did bubble gum. It's easy. You go buy it for whatever, 50, 75 cents, and then you turn around and sell each piece for 25 cents or 50 cents, and you're making money off of it.
And they busted him somehow for, I forget the reason why now, because it's been so long ago, but he's like, no, you cannot. He challenged it. He said, no, you can't. The rule says I cannot blah, 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 blah. And I'm not doing that. All I'm doing is, you know, it maybe it's one of those, all I'm doing is selling it.
Right.
What people do afterwards, if they're not supposed to chew it, is another story. I just sold them that. So it's not my fault if they're.
Yeah. It's like guns. We can sell the gun, but it's not our fault if you use it wrongly.
Yep.
Yep. Same difference. If you're not supposed to chew gum in class, it's not my fault if I sold it to you.
That's going to be my youngest. My oldest will try, and she may get away with some things, but it will be blatantly obvious that either she did something wrong or she's going to do something wrong. My youngest, on the other hand, will be clever.
Wait,
so that's what I got to look forward to.
If she did something like that, would you be proud or disappointed?
A little of both.
See, it's kind of like one of those catch-22s. It's like, I'm proud of you because you know how to make money and make things work, but I'm disappointed that you did that and I had to get called about it.
Yeah, and that's really, it wouldn't really be the thing. I probably wouldn't be so much, it's that you got caught.
Yeah.
Or I had to get involved.
I had to hear about it.
yeah.
The last thing that Alex ended up, he wasn't even in trouble, but the school called me about. I didn't answer the phone when like the principal called because one, I was busy. And then I got thinking, I'm like, all right, Alex, what'd you do and why is the principal calling me? Because in my head, I'm like, do I need to back him up and they're going to give me some line? Yeah. Or and I wish he'd gotten hold of me a little faster because I'd have cleared it up a lot quicker because, yeah, they broke their own rules. But it was after the fact and I ignored it. But it's kind of thing. It's like, all right, what do I got to do to save your ass? Because that's what we're going to do because I don't like most of them. Stickler for stupid stuff, and then they were doing illegal crap to the kids trying to get them on illegal stuff. Well,
it's a sting.
It's a sting, basically. And it's like it's not even a legal one. So,
what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, that I can't talk about. At least on air. Yeah,
we'll do that later.
We'll do that later. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's that kind of stuff. And it's like, all right, 90% of the time, he ain't wrong. What was it? It was something in junior high. And I didn't like the principal there. He was a freaking pansy anyway. I think I've even said it on the podcast. I know I've told you guys before. I got to the point the guy would see me and he would run away.
He's drinking Bud Lights.
Yeah, he would let the secretary deal with me, and he would, because he was a moron. But yeah, it's like, called me in there because Alex was fighting. I'm like, okay, did he hit someone? No, they were getting ready to. So they didn't. About? Were they exchanging words? No, they looked like it. They were going to. So did anything happen? Well, no, but we wanted to stop it before it turned into a fight. So he wasn't fighting. Well,
this Minority Report?
Yeah.
You know, pre-crime. It's like you're going in a circle, and I'm like, so he didn't break any rules. He's not in trouble. And you're basically calling me in the office, took me away from work, wasted my gas to tell me that he got into a confrontation with another young teenage boy.
So he's being a kid.
Yeah. So much parents' time over stupid stuff like that. It's like, no. Wait till he knocks the other kid out and then call me. And it better be for a good reason. You know, I not that he was defending himself.
Then we'll have to coach him on as 1-2.
Yeah, exactly. Which we did. But, you know, yeah.
Well, and there's something like that. We had a teacher reach out because my oldest apparently might have been cheating. And I didn't, in all honesty, I could totally see a scenario. If, you know, she was looking over at somebody's paper, I could totally see a scenario where she would do that and without thinking kind of thing. And that turned out to be, at least in my conversation with her, that turned out to be the case. And so I'm like, yeah, okay, we're good. I didn't really even say anything about it. It's like, it ain't going to happen again. I'm just not worried. I'm not, from a grades and homework and all that perspective, I'm not worried about.
Were the answers the same?
No, it's I don't think she even, they might have been the same, but the in talking with her, it was because she was out for out sick or something, so she missed a couple of things. So it's one of those where I wasn't sure, and I could just totally see her going, "Oh yeah, I'm doing it right.
I'm good."
Kind of thing. One of those sorts of things. But so much of school is so contrived. Like even parents, like, being a drumline instructor, doing marching band, going on trips, and parents are so uptight about a whole bunch of things. And, well, did you hear blah blah blah? You know, one of your drum guys, blah 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 blah. Yeah, and like you were saying earlier, CJ, they're high school kids, like shy of hurting themselves or somebody else or damaging property or some of those things that are legitimate. If they're just cussing, don't care. If they're drinking, that's another story.
They can't.
But even then, well, right. But even then, it depends on where and what the situation is, kind of thing.
Were they targeting? Were they hurting somebody?
Yeah.
I mean,
were they on school grounds in their uniforms?
Were they throwing their vodka bottles at the cop cars?
Yeah. It's stuff like that. Although it's funny, a buddy of mine used to be a band director. Some of his students, apparently at a football game, made bongs out of apples. They cored out, but he only knows this because...
Wait, like for weed?
Yeah, but they were doing it on school grounds and the whole schmear. And he only found out about it because they posted it to social media, and they are friends with him.
What a dumb thing to do.
So he saw it and he's like, guys, you realize you're on school property. I have evidence of it, and now I have to report it.
Not because I want to. It's not I have
to. Yeah, it's not because I want to, but that's just the way it is. I have to. And he's like, and here's a safety tip, guys.
Don't do that.
If you're going to break the rules, try and make sure there is as no evidence or as little evidence as possible that you did the thing.
Yeah. Because
I can't even, with these pictures that you posted, none of you can play this off like, oh, we're just eating apples. Because it's obvious exactly what you're doing.
Okay.
You have step-by-step pictures of this stuff.
Going back to your daughters, I have it figured out. Your younger daughter, she takes alcohol, like vodka, or say whichever. She'll take whatever out of one bottle, and she'll take two more actual vodka bottles and pour them all together and set the empties up there. So the next time you go to grab one, you'll think, oh, I must have finished it. Why did I set this up here? You know, she'll kind of shift it around. Yep. Where your oldest will try to do the old trick of putting the water in there to fill it out. Yeah. And then you'll be like, this does not taste right. Or this don't even smell like alcohol anymore. So she'll do the water thing where your daughter will be like, well, if this is the same color as this. And you'll be like trying to drink some rum or something going.
And it's not quite right. Yeah.
It doesn't quite taste like rum. It'd be like,
I don't remember these drinks tasting like this. Huh? Yeah.
Just mix them together.
Yeah. So it should be interesting. We'll see what happens.
Oh, we did the water thing once with a bottle that had like one of those stop tops.
Yeah.
So he poured the whole thing out, was done with it. We're like, oh, let's just throw water back in there. Oh, fuck. Water doesn't go in. And then we were screwed. Well, I was screwed. Nobody else was.
Yeah.
Can't you still kind of like pop the little rubber part?
Maybe we were not smart enough to figure that out.
I think you can still pop the rubber part and. Yeah.
There's got to be a way.
You ever been 16 and in a panic?
Yes.
Yes.
Logical thinking is
just right over on the other side of the road.
You're better off almost making the bottle disappear and then trying to convince them that, no, I didn't use that bottle. You must have.
That would have been way better idea. They just leave an empty bottle in the cabinet. Yeah,
you don't leave the evidence. Back when I was still turning wrenches, this one shop got busted because we'll get to how he got caught, but he hadn't done an oil change on a bus, changed any fluids or filters in almost 3 years. He did all the paperwork. So he basically sat in his office and did all the paperwork and filled it out like he was. He put everything into the computer like he was. He was even ordering more filters. He didn't throw the old filters away. So they walked in there to do an inventory, and he should have like 10 oil filters of whatever number. He had like 50. And we're talking, he only had like 30 buses. So instead of walking over to the shelf and even grabbing a new filter and throwing the thing away, he just kept ordering more and putting them on the shelves. Yeah, didn't think he'd ever get caught. 3 years, but it came down that he hadn't serviced a bus in 3 years.
Wait, hold up. The fact that it took them 3 years to figure that out is more than impressive that he never did it for 3 years.
The thing is we came under new management, and it's because of that they were going around doing all the inventory. So really it was the old management that wasn't going around all the shops.
Oh.
Because before, you would just do inventory and send it in. Then they decided, oh, no, we need our regional managers to come around and double check your inventories someone to double check it. They can't just say one guy did it type thing.
What was he doing all day then?
Oh, No idea. Just heard it on a conference call one time that, yeah, such and such, because they were like, we have all these filters. So they were divvying them up among everybody that could use them because they'd already paid for them. So we might as well use them. So it was crazy. Yeah, stockpiles. When he came over, he had like a truckload. He brought me a bunch of them. I mean, I didn't have to buy filters for like 4 months or something. It was awesome.
All things not to do, that seems like the most simple thing you could do to a school bus, honestly. Yeah,
it is. But I mean, it's just like...
you telling me I got to do the easiest thing? Fuck it. I'll do the hard shit.
He didn't do his oil changes. He wasn't. But he kept buying. He kept buying all the stuff to make it look like he was. It wasn't even like he was trying to steal money or anything else. It was literally, yeah.
If you're lazy, you got to be clever about it.
Exactly. You got to at least throw the stuff. Even if all you did was order a box and then turn around and throw it into the dumpster, do something to get rid of the evidence. People are idiots.
See, these are the people that in school that cheated blatantly.
Yes.
did not. There's an art to cheating. And whenever you do that kind of cheating, you're just an idiot.
All right. Well, we should do a topic. We haven't done a topic yet. Well, we have done topics, but this is just cracking me up. Ruin a movie by replacing one word in its title with moist. This is so wrong.
Moist Club.
John Moist.
Hey, is the fourth one as good as the first three or better? How would you rank it?
It's at least as good. And it continues the tradition of expanding the universe, answering questions, but then also making you ask more. But we'll get to that. We can finish this up.
Sorry. And then
we'll
okay. This just brought me to that.
Point moist. The moist reloaded. Don't forget the movie, The Moist. Bill and Ted's Face the Moist.
Is it the...
The Land Before the Moist?
Ooh. Swedish Moist.
Moist Redemption.
Moist Redemption.
Oh.
Conan the Moist.
Judgment Moist. The Last Moist Scout.
Die Moist.
Die Moist again.
Brave Little Moist.
Oh,
isn't it the good, the bad, and the ugly? The good, the bad, and the moist.
Moist. The Fellowship of the Moist, followed up by The Two Moist and The Return of the Moist.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Moist.
Talladega Moist.
Moist Brothers.
Oh, Moist Brothers.
Oh, Top Moist. With the Top Moist, what was the new one?
Top Gun Maverick. Top Moist, Maverick.
Maverick. Top Moist 2. Yeah.
Days of Moist.
Oh, days Moist versus Moist. Predators. Moist Annihilation. What are some of the other Predator movies? Oh, nope, that's just, that wouldn't work.
Moist 1, 2, 3. Revenge of the Moist.
Breeze.
What's Smokey and the Moist?
Smokey and Moist, nice. Resident Moist.
Moist Evil.
I think I like Moist Evil better than I do Resident Moist. How many movies have we ruined so far? Oh.
What was the
Full title?
Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. Star Wars Revenge of the Moist.
You stole mine.
Oh,
I said that.
Well, and then, but then there's also, instead of Return of the Jedi, Moist, there's also
Moist. Oh, Peter Pan and the Lost Moist.
Or the Moist Boys.
Peter Pan and the Moist Boys.
Yeah.
Sounds like a boy band.
That sounds like a terrible gay porno.
What's scary is the only way you would know that is you've seen names of gay pornos.
Well, you said Peter Pan and the Moist Boys. It doesn't sound like anything that's not a gay porno.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, hell.
Trying to see here.
Trying to think what else. What other movie?
Instead of the Magnificent Seven, the Moist Seven.
Or it could be the Moist Eight because the Hateful Eight.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
The Moist Universe.
That just sounds terrible.
And they are terrible on top of it, so it's a win-win either way.
Wait, what was that for?
Marvel Universe.
Oh, that's not a movie, though.
It's, I'm taking the whole genre as the whole thing, the Moist Universe. Yeah, Marvel.
When was it, all the Bourne movies, the Jason Bourne movies? Oh. Instead of the Bourne Identity, it's like the Moist Identity. The Moist Supremacy. The Moist Ultimatum, or what?
That does ruin some good movies. Wow. That went, yeah.
But that's fun. Oh. The Lord of the Rings was
good.
Fellowship of the Moist.
Oh, Attack of Moist. Like the attack from Mars. Was it Attack from Mars?
Or
Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks.
So it'd be Moist Attacks. Attacks.
The, Captain America, the Moist Avenger.
Yeah. Oh.
That's terrible. Apocalypse Moist.
The pretty most woman. Women. Oh. 12 angry moist men.
I think CJ mentioned the Shawshank Redemption.
One. Too fast, too moist.
Schindler's Moist.
Oh, we got to save this one for when he wanders back here. No Country for Old Moist Men. moist in 60 seconds. There's the winner. He's losing out. So, what? Yeah, Moist in 60 Seconds, I think, is the best movie name. Oh,
moist,
here we go.
Moist Private Ryan.
Moist Private Ryan.
The Silence of the Moist.
Yeah. CJ, tell me if this is the best Moist movie. Moist in 60 Seconds.
That takes the cake.
That's what I'm saying. Moist in 60 Seconds. Yeah, all right. Movie too. Since we're talking movies here.
Oh.
All right. Let's move on from our moistness.
It's a fun party game you can play at
Wait.
Home.
Do you guys know anybody that hates whenever people say the word moist?
Yes.
I've never
I know some people that are very uncomfortable with the word moist.
Really?
Yeah. What a weird thing to be. I mean, there's.
I don't know if I know anyone. I mean, I know people that giggle when I say moist, but I don't know anyone that gets mad when I say it. I have to.
Or maybe you just don't give a shit. So
I'm not paying
even
attention.
If they do, you're not paying attention.
Yeah. I'll have to bring moist more up in conversation.
I grew up yep. with one person that I know that doesn't like that word, and I always said it just I had to just throw
oh,
it.
Oh yeah, you have to say it. Yeah.
Just cause.
Yeah. I would definitely. Yeah. I'll throw it out there occasionally.
Yep.
All right. Since we were talking John Wick, and you put he isn't a good guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
assassin.
I know, but I
he was never a good guy, really.
Right. And I saw something or maybe it was people talking about the movie kind of thing. And it's like, oh, well, you know, he's killing. It's just, you know, it's nonstop action. So it's good from that perspective, but he's just killing people and all this sort of stuff. And I think, and I came across an article since I posted that or put that in on our list of possible topics, and where they talked about sort of the anti-hero.
But he's not an anti-hero. That's well, the nice
he's
part
a,
about
he's John a hero Mark. For the crowd, but he's not really a hero.
Yeah, he's not an he's not like
well, yeah, not anti-hero, but you know that sort of that.
Oh. Okay, what's dark. The difference between him and Punisher then?
That's what I'm saying. Punisher,
he's an anti-hero, so
yeah, he's an anti-hero, but he was a good guy.
So was the Punisher.
No, John Wick was never a good guy. He was an assassin and killed bad people.
He killed people because they killed his dog. That makes him
a good guy. I'm talking prior to that. From day one, before he met his wife, he was killing. He wiped out like one of the major gangs so the Russians could take over, just so he could go. He's not an anti-hero.
That's what
I'm not trying to save anyone. Okay. Where the Punisher is actually saving people.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
that's where I want to. It's almost like. At the start of John Wick, the very first movie, he's already had his hero's journey. He was, like you said, he was evil. Like, and I want to say, I remember, you know, maybe I'm making this shit up at this point, but in the early days after John Wick came out, like the director and Keanu Chad Stahelski, and Keanu Reeves were talking, or one of the two or both of them were talking about it. And what if the devil himself got out, kind of thing? And so he had his hero's journey before John Wick started. He was married, happily ever after, the whole nine yards. What happens when that gets ripped away from him? And then, and, you know, in the first movie, it's him sort of avenging the dog, which was the last gift given to him by his wife, the last symbol of his wife, who's no longer alive, kind of thing. And then because he did that, then it becomes, you know, at the end of the first one and then 2, 3, 4, it's just him trying to look, I got in because it's because of a personal vendetta. I didn't want to come back.
Right.
But because I came back, you guys keep pulling
you keep coming after me, basically.
So the only way the devil has to get out, well, like, what does the devil do in that situation? He just amps it up and goes, okay, you know who I am. You know what I'm capable of. So I'm going to just shoot my way out of all of it. And so it's just an interesting, like, I read an article that kind of compared John Wick, Keanu Reeves as John Wick, to some of the characters John Wayne played in some of his movies, where he really wasn't a good guy. He just right. did the right thing, or, you know, something you could cheer for in the movie, but really he's a bad,
bad guy.
Supposed to be more of a bad guy, even though, I mean, John Wayne is John Wayne at this point. There's so much nostalgia and myth tied up in John Wayne, the man,
right?
Let alone him, the movie thing. But it's just an interesting thing. Like, it's easy to go, oh my God, he killed however many people in the movie. Yeah, because he's not a good guy. Yeah. He's evil incarnate.
And he's not even the anti-hero, which some people try to make him up to him. He's not the hero. And really along the way. Yeah,
that's a good point. That's a good point.
He saves some people here and there that helps him. You know, he has like good moments where he could kill someone. Who's the big wrestler? You know, there's that scene where he comes out of the shadows and it's like, are you working? Yeah, why don't you take the night off? And lets him go.
Yeah. In so the first one,
Where before he'd probably just killed him and moved on.
Yeah.
But the thing that cracks me up about John Wick in any kind of shoot 'em up movie like that is like, if they really wanted him dead, like truly wanted him dead, there are certain instances where they could just shoot him. You know, point blank, no weapons. There's people that could kill him at different things, but that's where the rules come in.
Yeah, and the consequence, and because there are consequences of those rules. Yep.
So they can't break those, so it has those safe zone type things. Even talking to the high council member or anything, it's like, oh, out in the streets, you can have a shoot 'em up match and we don't care. But under these guidelines...
It's like when your kid's playing any game, base, I'm on base, you can't... Get me out, I'm on base.
Exactly. You know, but so it's like the rule, but yeah, he knows how to play within the rules and how to break.
That's certainly a theme of all the movies, of the rules and consequences.
Yeah. And someone like him, I think, has to slaughter his way out of it. I mean, even to get his wife the first time around, he had to go over and above the impossible and slaughter how many to be able to get that little moment of freedom. So if he truly wants free, he has to basically kill off everyone that would want him dead.
Well, and like he says at the end of the second, is it the second one where he kills the guy in the Continental? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, tell them, and he's talking to Winston. He's like, tell them, whoever it is, I will kill them all. It's like, yep. And, you know, to your question earlier, CJ, I mean, the fourth one, I have seen it. And it's a fantastic ride. It is. And it starts off somewhat slow. Like the first minute, it kind of leads you to, like, it leaves off shortly after the end of the third movie. And then from there, it hits the gas and it doesn't stop until the end. And it's like 3 hours and something long. Like it's a long one.
Jesus.
I was like, okay, if I don't go to the bathroom now, I picked a spot. I'm guessing
strategic with those piss breaks.
Yeah, totally. And so I was like, well, he's getting on, this looks like a move, like it's a moment where not much is going to happen. So if I don't go now, I'm not going to make it to the end. And then I'm going to miss something big. And sure enough,
I'm just going to piss my pants. Fuck it.
And sure enough, I, you know, left and came back, and it was like nothing exposition, kind of like I missed nothing. And then the rest of the, like, it's the rest of the roller coaster. Like literally it is. There are moments where it's like a roller coaster. It slows down, and then then you're down another drop off. It's well done in that regard.
So, do you think that the reason why the John Wick movies are so good? Because, like, there's always action flicks that have like that much, I mean, things going on, but it's because they actually play by a certain rules. It's like it almost makes it realistic.
Yeah, there is almost a hyper realism. Like, it is weird that all of this takes place today and they all exist kind of parallel to us. Mm-hmm. But what were you going to say, Nate?
There's a realism to it in a fantasy setting, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And I read an article, and I think it was after John Wick 2. That they'll probably never say it. The Keanu Reeves or the directors, no one will ever say this. But I like the thought that this whole concept is part of the Matrix. Because if you add it into the Matrix world, this place could exist. Because it's heavily ruled and regulated, which, that's all your different scripts and everything else, when you can do something, when you can't. It has basically the viruses of the guys that go bad or do the, you know, it has this play thing. So if you moved it into the Matrix world,
this it's like place, the Matrix sequels we wanted. What we got.
Yeah. Well, but it's like a subset. It's like, where are all these guys living to pull this up? Because it's like people point out, it's like, okay, everybody becomes an assassin all at once. How does the whole public park become an assassin at once?
Yeah. So it's like whenever they got the call.
Yeah. So
they're like the agents.
Yeah.
In that setting.
Yep.
There's
a lot of playbacks, and they were doing the parallels back and forth about how it could play into it. And yeah, it's basically an assassin thing. And if you put Keanu Reeves in his place from the Matrix or whatever, he goes around killing everyone.
Technically, he's the one. Yeah.
He's the one. So in that setting, okay, the Matrix runs different scenarios over and over again. Each, like, they had to do the reset. You know, they talk about the reset in the Matrix.
Yeah,
this is like another reset of the Matrix, and he has to be, it's almost like playing a game. Hey, I made it to level 50.
Okay. Yeah, I beat the boss.
You beat the boss. Now you go to this game, and now you got to go through the whole thing again to beat the boss again. Like, each time you got to keep going. So this is like a version of it. But if they had called it the Matrix at the time, it probably wouldn't have done as well.
Yeah.
Why do you have these fighters and assassins that are almost supernatural? Why can they pull some of this stuff off? Because it's a one-off from reality. Kind of like the old Blade movies. You know, it's like, why can they pull that off? Well, they're vampires. Well, those guys aren't vampires. Yeah, but they got blood of the vampire. Or what? You know, they had something to explain it. Where in John Wick, they don't have it. They're just super assassins. You know,
how many assassins really are there in the world in this?
Yeah, you know, just like the suits and stuff. Okay, those are programs that are like the virus program type things. You know, it's your all your protection and thing. It was a neat article. I wished I had saved it, but.
I mean, I do think, too, is especially in this day and age, there's, especially with like 2, 3, and 4, I could see the first one, they really weren't sure. Like, we have this cool idea. We think it's a cool idea, but whether or not it would be successful is another story. But, you know, why was, take a look at Top Gun Maverick, which is now streaming on Amazon Prime, by the way. So, check it out if you have that. But, or even if you don't, I'd check out the movie. It's worth it. But, you know, why is that so popular? And look at some of the things in both of those movies. There's lots of practical effects, right? As often as possible, you see the actors, not just Tom Cruise or Keanu Reeves, but everybody else as much as possible. You could tell people who did all their stunts and all those sort of stuff, and then you could tell it, everyone's like, you know what, we'll just dial it in, I'm cool with that, whatever, that's fine. But there's so much practical stuff. It's Keanu Reeves doing all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't help that, or it doesn't hurt, I should say, that there's videos of him at Terran Tactical or whatever the place is, where of him actually shooting. So there's some, he real does have gun skill. Yeah, well, it's not just pew 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 pew. Well,
the other thing that I think in all of this that makes it popular is just like the Expendables. It's a shoot 'em up movie.
Yeah.
In this day and age, you don't have good violent shoot 'em up movies with actual people dying. You just, even Top Gun had action, and even though they only blew up the one thing at the end, really, you know, it's, oh, spoiler alert.
Well, that happened in both movies.
I'm talking about the practice blowing up. But you know, it's one of those deals. It's like there's no action movies.
Well, and it doesn't hit you over the head with some message. It's just a movie.
It's just a movie. Thank you.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
We're on the same wavelength. Fuck. But it is really just, it is like a roller coaster or some amusement ride. It is to entertain. And, you know, Tom Cruise has leaned into that hard. That's something he's like, look, Mission Impossible, Top Gun, we're doing this to entertain the fans. There's moments of humor, there's moments of drama, there's lots of good action, and, you know, cinematography, and all of that goes into the movie making, goes into that experience. And when we go, whether we're sitting on our couch or we actually go to the theater, we just want to, most of the time, we're trying to escape our world. And so jumping, and that helps too with John Wick. There's a world there that they've built where they do stuff, but they never explain, or they rarely explain much of anything. Like the first time in John Wick where he's pulling out these gold coins. Well, what the fuck is that?
Right.
what are those? Oh, wait a minute. He's calling somebody. He's got a dinner reservation for 12, and they come up and clean the body. Oh, they're coming up to clean the bodies, and the gold coins are, oh, but why is that? What, how they come up with it? You know, you start using your imagination as if you were reading it.
Well, it's not like making the audience feel like they're retarded and you have to explain everything.
Yeah.
To them.
Yeah.
Or preach to them.
Yeah. Well,
exactly.
There's no hidden agenda message.
No
PC correctness. No, hey, you got to do this or that. Blah blah blah.
Why does everything got to be a message? It just kind of, that's my whole question. Why does everything got to be a message? Why can't everything just be its own thing?
And then you end up overcomplicating the plot as a result. Yeah,
it's just ruined everything. It's just I don't know anybody that wants to go to a movie because of the message that's being told. It's a story. You just want to be entertained like any other story that anybody's ever told you. You don't want to hear a message of something that they need to push upon. You just want to hear a hero's story and well told.
But that's the thing with like the Expendables or
Fast
John
and
Wick.
Fast and Furious kind of tapped into it.
Yeah.
What is this? Just this is over the top action driving.
It's stupid, but it's entertaining and hilarious, and it's just retarded.
And what's funny with like Fast and Furious, like the first movie, that one was fairly close to realistic. People could get it, but it was like each movie, they're
they
like
just keep
half a step away, half a step away, to a point you're like, no, that can't really be done. But I don't care. They're not pushing their agenda.
But then they've created characters that you can at least either relate to or care about,
or actually know who they are.
Yeah. And even with the Expendables, I mean, they know what they are. Here's all these old action stars, and they know that, and they lean into that, even though they change their names and whatever. But it's you know, it's still one of those where you care about. So you already care about those actors, and then what they're doing, you know, it just so happens. And it like, and on one level they take it seriously, but they don't take themselves too seriously. Like we're here to be an amusement, and that's it. We're not trying to.
Well, and I think that's where the Top Gun sequel was awesome, because they had the original guys come back into a believable storyline, and it wins. Unlike a lot of sequels where they're switching characters, or the Ghostbusters where they had the whole female cast and everyone went, no. They tried to remake. Stop trying to remake good movies. You want to do a sequel or bring something back? They need to follow like the Top Gun thought. You know, it's like, okay, use some of the original people, older guys, passing it to the younger guys. You know, that's doable.
And even
Indiana Jones tried to do it. They tried to pass it off, and it
they got another one coming out.
Yeah, I saw that. But
and this
still
one almost
actually looks decent.
This one almost. I mean, we'll see. I don't know. But going back to like with the Top Gun, I mean, not really a spoiler, but because it's in the trailers, but there is a female pilot. And while there are female pilots today, like they don't make a big deal of it. It's not like she's the star of the show, but like really the story's about her and everyone else is just there, where, you know, in this day and age, that's typically how that movie would be made had it follow anything else.
If it followed a PC agenda, that's how it would have been.
Yeah, but she's just one of a bunch of pilots that were called back to say, you guys are the best right now. We need to fly this mission. And perfect. That's how it should be done. There's no...
like billions.
Yeah, exactly. With Taylor Mason. It's just... Mm-hmm. She's just a character on the show. Yeah, I don't... Again, thumbs up. Fucking iPad. But, you know, I think that's the refreshing part of John Wick and Top Gun and other Expendables. And there's other examples too where they...
It's have you guys seen Yellowstone?
Yeah, bits and pieces of it.
Yeah.
We just started it. We're only 4 episodes in, and holy shit. Speaking of everything that we talk about, this is the TV show for that.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
There's a lot of... Yeah.
And Kevin Costner's solid in it. I haven't, like you, I've seen bits and pieces, but I haven't. I want to watch it, but he's
funny.
He's
such if you have the time, take it. The first episode's a movie.
Yeah.
It's an hour and a half for the first episode.
I think it's funny because historically, I can't stand Kevin Costner.
Right. I don't remember you saying that.
There's hardly any movies of his that I have watched that I've gone, I want to watch that again. Like, I watched Waterworld. I couldn't stand his character, but I liked the concept of the world and everything around it. So
that
I watched
they were trying to build. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think they could have put someone else in there that had done such a better job.
Better job.
Yeah, I honestly think he's a horrible actor in 90% of the movies. But then Yellowstone rolls out, and I'm like, well, in this, he's the guy.
He is. They couldn't have picked anybody more.
He is Dutton.
Yeah, he's playing it. It's like the dislike I had of all those movies. He's like
almost gets back. Washed away. Yeah,
yeah, because it's goes like you finally found a role for him that actually works for once. So
he was good in The Highwaymen on
that movie's awesome.
Netflix. It's about
Bonnie
and Clyde.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
It's about the Texas Rangers. Frank Hamer, Costner plays Frank Hamer, who is one of the Texas Rangers that was pulled out of retirement to track down Bonnie and Clyde and ultimately capture
the old man.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, that character, Frank Hamer, and at his age, in Frank's age, he was older anyway, so it was fitting. But in a lot of ways, he's kind of like the character he plays on Yellowstone. Maybe not as
he's more reserved.
Yeah. But at the same time, there's still a tie there. An older, grizzled kind of, I've lived a little bit, kind of thing. Anyway, yeah, he's good in that, and it's a good story. I mentioned this before. There's a book called Texas Ranger, The Story of Frank Hamer. It's a fantastic book. Whether you read it or audiobook, it's a little bit long, but it covers his life and his experience and just life on the border as a Texas Ranger. I mean, it's a solid book. So I highly recommend it. But
what's the book?
Yeah, I want to get through Yellowstone. Huh? It's called Texas Ranger.
Okay.
The Story of Frank Hamer or something like that is the subtitle. Okay. And some of it's even more interesting because my parents are snowbirds down in South Texas. And a number of the places they talk about along the Rio Grande Valley or in the Rio Grande Valley, I at least have an idea of where those places are. So that helps too. So, but yeah, but anyway, going back to the original topic, it's like, you know, I think it gets lost. Like you said, we want to make John Wick the anti-hero. Like he's fighting the system kind of thing. And it's like, yes, he is fighting the system, but it's not because he's some anti-hero trying to whatever. He's a bad guy, got himself in a situation, and the way he gets out of it is basically to become
meaner,
the worst version of him, quote unquote worst version of himself.
So
like whoever he was married to Helen and all that sort of stuff, he has to become whoever the complete antithesis of that person.
So you're rooting for the best of the best of the villains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is funny is like the Russian guy at the very beginning could have saved everything by, you know, be like, okay, John, boom. Yeah. I'll go have another son. It's not
a big deal. The first movie's 20 minutes long.
Yeah, you know.
Thank God he didn't.
And like, what is it? Oh, what's his name? His brother that always talks about the pencil scene. You know, it carried over into that and the second
movie.
Yeah, and it's like all these guys are like, well, we can't not do it. Well, why? And you almost want to ask, why not?
Yeah.
Well, we'll lose our reputation, so you'd rather die than walk away.
Because you know who he is. And they do such a good job, especially in that first movie, of setting up who John Wick was.
Right.
They just the mere fact that the mafia guy, what is Vigo, whatever his name is, like, you know, talks to whoever the mechanic, I can't think of the actor's name, but he's like, I heard you struck my son. He's like, well, yeah, because he killed John Wick's dog and stole his car. And then Viggo's like, oh, whoa. And just hangs up. And then his scene with his son talking about who John Wick really is, which starts all of that. I mean, he's not the boogeyman. He's the guy you send to kill the boogeyman. That should tell you everything you need to know about who he is.
And Viggo's the one that set everything up to wipe out the other group so he could become the number one guy, so he knows John Wick can take his group out.
Yeah.
So it was like when he told John Wick no,
he's signing his own death warrant.
And he knew it. He knew he was signing everything away. Just everything at that point's gone.
And they do kind of talk about that, and not to, you know, no major spoilers here, but they do hint at some of that, like kind of the reason why the High Table is, you know, they lay out or some of why the High Table is sort of fearful or wants to try and take Rain, either try and rein John in or take him out. And just because of who he is. I mean, they go into more detail. I won't give it away, but it's, you know, it's sort of obvious. But when they say it, it sort of catalyzes. Okay. It makes sense on why they want to do it. But then there's some things like where they, you know, there's a scene in the trailer where they're in Paris and they have these middle cards that they're flipping over on a table. Like they even released it, the scene. It's like a minute or two long. They released it on YouTube. So check it out. And it's talking about meeting for a duel and how they set that. And all they're doing is flipping over what look like cards, tarot cards or something, but they're metal. I'm like, well, wait a minute. How do they know who wins? Like, how do you know who gets to call what? Oh, there's numbers. If you look closely, it's like, oh, there's numbers on the cards. High number wins. I mean, it's just all this sort of stuff. It's like they introduce, it's like, what?
They set you up for the next one.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
all right.
Anyway,
that was a good recap. Go see John Wick if you have it, because most of us probably will at some point.
And because the fourth one's out, it's a good excuse to watch the first three.
There you again. Go.
I will say, this last weekend we went and saw the Mario movie. It was amazing. And? It was amazing. Okay. Honestly, nothing was pushed. It was in an animated movie. You expect all this shit. They literally just crammed about everything that has to do with Mario into that movie. And it was perfect for an animated movie. Huh. Funny.
It's good to know.
Not too long. It was an hour and a half, or thank God. It was not 3 hours.
Yeah, John Wick's a haul. So if you're going to go see that, either
pee don't beforehand, drink don't pee get the soda and popcorn.
Yeah, yeah.
Your or public maybe service get the popcorn. Announcement.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
But yeah, I'll have to go see that. The girls have a Nintendo Switch, so
they'll love it. I just wanted to go see a movie, and that was the only one that was playing in the IMAX.
Okay.
But after getting the tickets and watching the movie, totally 100% pleased.
Yeah, that's good. That's a win. Maybe they're coming around to making some decent movies again.
Just movies. I hope so. Just make a movie.
Yeah, just make hard. A movie. Yeah, don't make an hour and a half agenda propaganda movie.
If it's a propaganda movie, it's 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, true.
And an hour of it is talking to you about how you need to feel about it.
Yeah. Or how you're how it's your fault that
on that note until next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast on our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarianrhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at SteelJanz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world.
An apex predator. Alien to a civilized world.